welcome to the Hyper Sloth Happy Hour with your hosts, Zig Zag and Rufus, coming to you live from planet Earth, courtesy of Smokin' Hits Records and Global Corp Industries. Now, grab a beer, put your feet up, and get ready for the Hyper Sloth Happy Hour!
Hello!
Hello!
Hey!
H-squared.
Am I still muted? No. Looks like I'm... What happened to the British lady counting us down? Didn't she usually say, you have 3 seconds to your show?
I can hear her. I heard her.
No, I totally missed it. I got a bad connection. Can you hear me?
I just hear a little bit of... I think it's your hyperwarp drive is turned up a little high. Because I'm hearing some kind of... Are you sure you're not playing with a lightsaber? Because it sounds like a lightsaber.
No. I would like to be, but I put it down. No, my phone, connection is real iffy with me, man. I used to use my wife's phone because it had a really good connection. Her phone somehow got soaked and ruined, so now I'm left with my phone, and it's got, like, one bar. I hope it over bars sometimes, so it might be kind of rough.
You should try wrapping it in tinfoil and see if that works at all.
Yeah, I heard nothing you said just then.
I said wrap it in tinfoil. Just like wrap it.
Did that work? Really?
Nah, it did. You know, you never tried that, like, in your dorm room or anything? Yeah. I used to, I don't know if it worked, but I was under the impression I was getting a clearer picture when I wrapped shit in fucking tinfoil.
Oh, no, yeah. That just worked for TVs. I meant it worked for my phone.
No, I seriously doubt it. Nothing works for your phone, except a new phone.
Not even my
phone. You do that on purpose.
It is a new phone. That's what sucks. I got a brand new phone, and reception's fucking terrible.
What do you live in, a lead box?
I don't know what it is. I thought it was my network, because I was on AT&T, now I'm on Verizon, and it just ain't happening, man. It's frustrating. And that's why I use my wife's phone, is because she was still on AT&T and got good reception, but her phone broke.
Really?
So I'm stuck with
doesn't
mine.
Doesn't really sound that bad now. Did you
I'm holding
on
it up.
Phone? Is that how it got soaked?
I vomited beer on her phone, yeah. So I guess I kind of sold it on there.
Accidents happen, no doubt.
That's her phone should not have been anywhere near me whenever I said I'm about to vomit beer.
The question is, was the beer in your stomach so long that it got warm, or was the beer still cold when it came out? Have you ever puked up, like, ice-cold beer?
If I puke up ice-cold beer, I'm drinking it immediately.
I'm not bragging, but I have puked up ice-cold beer before.
What?
When I was
How did
like,
that happen?
Probably more than once. You'd, like, chug a beer, right? This time I was, like, 17, and my mom and dad were out of town. And, of course, we decided to get a pony keg, me and, like, three of our friends. Now a pony keg wouldn't last me an afternoon, but back then it lasted us, like, 3 days. And we were doing beer bongs, right, at, like, 10 o'clock in the morning. And I did a beer bong, and I threw it back up, and it was still ice cold. So you could have put a faucet... I could have beer bonged into someone's mouth, let's put it that way, and everything would have been hunky-dory.
That's fucking disgusting. That sounds like a great, like, a porno niche. Vomiting ice-cold beer into some other frat guy's.
I didn't say I shit in someone's mouth. I said I puked up some cold beer. Jesus, Rufus.
Now, the only time I ever puked from beer was somebody had a keg of, like, a dark... One of those Bock beers that are fucking disgusting. But it was my first experience with one, so of course I, like, downed, like, 14, 16-ounce cups in about 30 minutes and then just blew my guts all over the place.
You know, was it Shiner Bock? Because would drink Shiner Bock, but I already kind of had to be drunk. But I never fucking enjoyed it. And it kind of made me angry when someone's like, oh, we're going to get a fucking... I threw it on some kegs. Like, you know, we used to throw in kegs all the time when I went to St. Edwards. Or they'd be like, they'd go and get the fucking keg and it'd be a keg of Shiner Bock. And I'm like, what the fuck, man? I would rather drink fucking Old Milwaukee than Shiner Bock.
Well, this wasn't Schneiderbach. It was Ziegenbach, but it's basically the same thing.
I remember Ziegenbach.
Why would you get a keg of a dark beer? Because it just weighs you down and makes you sleepy and, like, full. I mean, if you're at a party, you want a light beer that everybody can just pound for 4 hours straight. I mean, when you have a keg of, like, Schneiderbach, you have two beers and you feel like you ate a dough ball. You just want to fucking lay down.
I agree with you 100% on that, dude, because it's like no matter how much ice you put on a Bock beer, it still fucking seems like it's warm when you're drinking it. And I want my beer to, like, quench my thirst, not make me thirsty for water.
Right. I mean, a Bock beer, like those dark beers are like somebody put a loaf of wheat bread in a fucking ninja juicer. It's fucking thick and just...
And it's rancid water. Speaking of hipsters, I was watching Jeopardy before the show tonight, and the guy was wearing a wooden bow tie. And I thought to myself, if it wasn't so gay, it's almost clever.
how many things can you say that about? So many.
Yes, many. It's a long answer to that question.
You know what's funny is on the Impractical Jokers, like, not the season finale, the season opener, one of those guys wore a wooden bow tie, and the other three guys pretty much just called him a fucking douchebag. Like, you're an idiot, you tool.
Let me guess which guy wore the wooden bow tie. I'm going to say the dude that sometimes has a beard.
No, it's actually the skinny guy, the scrawny guy that they call a ferret a lot.
Really? That doesn't surprise me because they all seem equally gay, hipsterish, kind of. I know you're a big fan of the show, but I can still call them gay, hipsterish.
Well,
only because enraged with jealousy.
What they do in the privacy of their own gay orgy is their business.
It is. And I mean, I know that I saw one where they're like, go into this men's sauna and give an old Jewish man a reach around, and they all got the fucking green light deal. They're like, ding, 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 ding.
That's right. Exactly. And they didn't get, I think they got offered jobs.
That turns out it was a producer, and that's how they got the show. Long story short.
Wow. Hey, I want to break in and say something real quick.
Yes, sir.
I got your message, the video message you sent with that riff you played.
Oh, yeah.
Fucking love it. Dude, I fucking love it. That's the first, like, that felt like hyper. I almost got chills.
Up.
I'm dead serious. I was like, man, that's a goddamn Hypersloth riff. But I don't know how to play
it.
Can you do another? Show me, like, the chords you're doing.
Let me sing a little something I came up to for that. Can you hear me?
Yeah, barely. My phone's fucking shit up, but I can...
Goes like this. Hold on, I got some words here. Going downtown, gonna see my girl. Gonna sing her a song, gonna show her my ding-dong.
Subtle.
Maybe she'll laugh, maybe she'll cry. It's really hard to see with the naked eye. No, I'm quoting Blind Lemon Jefferson on that. He's a famous blues artist.
Oh, is that right?
Yes. I will show it to you. It's very simple. Goes like this. Can you see my hands?
Is that an E? Or an
A? That's an E. That's an E.
Okay.
That's an E.
Cool.
Then it's an A7 suspended, I think they call this one. Just these two fingers.
All right. Hang on. Hold on. I'm going to jot this down for real because I thought it was fantastic. No. Okay. God damn it.
I'll
trying to
do
open
another
notepad.
Video when we're not live on the air. But here's a little taste for the people out there.
Yeah. perfect.
$1 million song.
And dude, and that variation you did with like the guitar slap and the break.
Oh yeah.
Gold, man. Fucking gold.
I'd like to say something. I'd like to say something too while we're talking, frankly. Frank. I'd like to say thank you to Lemon Haze for that song. And tonight's show. Tonight's show, my buzz is sponsored by Lemon Haze. It's a nice blend of a hybrid marijuana. It's really made it happen for me today, and I just want to say thank you.
Wow, good stuff, huh?
Hey, did you watch the presidential debate the other night?
No, I did not. You told me about it. You told me, you clued me in so I'd be ready for the show, and I just did not.
Yeah, well, you know what? During the presidential debate, you know, they're talking about what they're going to do about ISIS or everything, and I had my fucking aha moment on how we fucking beat ISIS. And it's a no-brainer, dude. We carpet bomb them with Big Macs and fried apple pies from McDonald's. And we make them lethargic and, you know, make them addict them to trans fat, right? And it'll be a slow victory, but I think we can get to the bottom of it. We'll just overrun them with fast food.
If we have the patience to wait it out, then in 2 years of eating Big Macs and French fries, they're going to be just like, yeah, just shoot us. I don't give a fuck.
You think when they eat a McRib over there, do they eat the pigs? I can't remember what they don't eat.
No, they don't do pigs. It's a filthy animal. They can't do it.
Well, it doesn't matter. Did you see where they're getting rid of the McRib because people are considering it racist?
What? Why? Yeah. No, I haven't.
Well, I mean, it's the McRib, dude. I mean, think about it. They were introducing something called the McChicken and Waffles. Too that obviously is not going to go over now.
That'd be fucking awesome. What about the whole McWatermelon marketing campaign?
Yeah.
Was that going on?
The McWatermelon shake is something that they're really fucking trying to sink their teeth into.
Damn.
But thank you. I want to just say to the listeners that that was the natural progression of that joke. I was actually headed towards the watermelon. So thank you.
Awesome. That's why we're hypersloth. That right there.
We share one singular brain cell, but it is a genius style brain cell.
That's right. We trade off with that brain cell.
Yeah, I've been loaning it to Rufus for the last 17 years.
And I've obliterated it with cheap beer.
They're also... I saw they're phasing out Taco Bell as well because it's racist.
Really?
Yeah.
I mean, why is Taco Bell racist?
They're turning that into Donald Trump's new theme song.
What theme song is that?
The Taco Bell make a run for the border. That's he's taking that over.
He's changing it to make them run for the border.
Right. He's going to incentivize the run to the border. I mean, if he gets – I'll tell you what. If Donald Trump gets elected president, there'll probably be a stampede towards the border, I would think.
Interesting. Maybe that's the strategy.
You know, how is it – I mean, I love America, and I'm American. How is it Canada has it so right and America has it so wrong?
Ah, shit, you're breaking up because of my goddamn – shit fucking connection here. So I have three bars. So was it presidential election? It's kind of bashing it out, right? To decide who's going to be the guy.
Oh, yeah. Oh, my God. It was the whole fucking thing was, like, angry. I mean, they don't solve any problems. They don't really talk about the issues. This is what I noticed about the Republican debate. They talk about one fucking issue, immigration and the war on ISIS. And then between that, they just, like, bashed on each other's personal shortcomings, pretty much. But they don't, talk about helping the American people or helping the American economy or how screwed up the fucking income inequality is. It's all like 100% fear. Either the people are here to take your job or the fucking ISIS is going to come over and blow us all up. I'm all for building a wall around fucking America and checking in the world in like 50 years. Because if you're not there to stick your hand in shit, nobody wants to fuck with you, really. You know what I mean? That's what I'm saying. Canada kind of has it right. They don't fight any wars, really. I mean, they probably have a small service, I'm sure. But they don't go and, like, take over places. And no one hates Canada. You never hear about, like, we hate Canada or we hate Australia.
No, I mean, if Canada did have some armed forces that you know, helped us out in Iraq. But you know what? That's really strategic for them because it's not like they knew that we were the guys instigating that shit. But they're like, well, we'll send a few people there just to make sure that we're still friends with America, but not enough to really make the world hate us.
Right. They probably, like, get there and they created a whole new flag and stuff for Canada that they wear on their uniforms on other parts of the world so no one really knows they're Canadian.
Exactly.
They probably make it American. It's got one less star than the American flag.
Yeah, well, fuck Hawaii. We don't need them on the flag anyway.
Well, I mean, are they going to add stars now for all these, I mean, Puerto Rico, is that now a state, correct?
No, that's a U.S. territory. Here's the fucked up thing about Puerto Rico, and there's some other territory. It's a U.S. territory. The people who live there and are born there are U.S. citizens, but they don't have the right to vote. How fucked up is that?
That is fucked. I mean, how many people possibly could live there, though? You know what? Does it matter? Because you have the right to vote, and it doesn't matter. I mean, so you're just kind of saving money on the voting machines. You're like, yeah, we don't have to send any 20-year-old voting machines out there to break down on these people.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. If we don't send voting machines there, then we don't have to worry about programming them to fake and steal votes. So we'll just not worry about it.
Do you think, like, every terrorist has been bullied? Are bullies creating terrorists? Maybe we should make a T-shirt that says that. Bullies create terrorists.
I guess. I don't know. It's a vicious cycle. I mean, if you're a terrorist, you're a bully. If you're a bully, you create a terrorist. I mean, if you're bullying one nation, they're going to, quote-unquote, terrorize you because they're, like, tired of your shit. And then it just goes back and forth forever. Which is the Middle East. I mean, take America out of the equation. It's still that way. Over there, they're just constantly like, no, this passage in the Quran means this. Oh, no, it doesn't mean that. It means this. Let's beat at each other. And it's been going on for fucking thousands of years.
They've been fighting for thousands of years. If we just didn't decide that, you know, or Raytheon or whoever decides to, like, pick one side and decide to sell guns and shit to, you know what I mean? It's kind of like they're just money-making wars for companies, because you got the American side that the American people are fucking selling arms to, and then you got, like, the Russian side that the Russian arms dealers are selling shit to. You know what I mean?
Oh, dude.
It's just like, hey, let's just make some money.
It's all about money. Of course it is. Dude, I just read a headline. Of course, I didn't read the article because the headline was so captivating and informative. But apparently they hacked a bunch of, like, ISIS members' email accounts. And they were all hosted on UK government websites, on UK, the United Kingdom's government-owned servers. So the suspicion is that the UK government, and, you know, by connection, other major governments, are sort of prodding this thing along and feeding it because it just keeps the fear and the war sustained. Because at that point, if your entire populace is in fear, they're going to let you do whatever you fucking want. They're going to give you as much money as you need to protect them. They're going to give up their rights. So it's devious, man.
I mean, I don't want to get political on the show, that political, but, I mean, it is. It's all about big corporations making fucking money. That's it. You ever seen this thing on YouTube called the Empire Files?
No, I'm going to jot that down because it sounds right up my alley.
First of all, I want to say that the chick that does the Empire Files, her name I think is Abby Martin, is smoking fucking hot. So I want to give her a small shout out for being super fucking hot, by the way. And I think that's her name. Yeah. But I suggest people check it out because you know what? It's kind of the same thing that you're talking about with UFOs and shit, that government people are coming forward and kind of spilling the beans on what's going on. And she has interesting guests on. I mean, one of the episodes I watched, it only lasted a half an hour, was a guy who was the ex-chief of staff for Rumsfeld, right? And he just was, like, basically saying that wars are only created to make money. And that's why we have this thing about make money. First of all, the whole country will rally, quote-unquote, behind any war, no matter how cockamamie, when the media spends it however the government tells them to. And then Raytheon and all these places with huge bucks, and how 90% of the generals and, like, people high up in the military end up working for, like, Raytheon and other defense contractors right as soon as they retire. That's the first thing they kind of all depend on. They kind of know that's the natural progression of things. So their idea is to just go out, and when they're on Fox News and stuff, like these guys that consider themselves world war experts, you know what I mean, ex-generals and whatnot, they're planted to say to, like, people on Fox News, you know, this part of the world needs to be contained. Things are dangerous there. We need to step in with some kind of military action. And really, all those people work for the defense contractors and are just chilled on these programs, basically spreading propaganda. It's unbelievable.
Yeah.
Really.
I mean, the government doesn't have a big factory where they make shit. It goes to the highest corporate bidder. So, of course, you know, corporations want us to be in war, and the corporations that make the money pay the politicians. So, again, it's a nice little package where the politicians create the conflict and hand off all the fucking jobs to the corporate empire. They create the bombs and the planes and shit, and then they funnel all the money they make from that back into the politicians through lobbyists and stuff. And all wars are fucking meaningless. By the way, Abby Martin, yeah, I looked it up. Yes. I remember the first time that I saw her was in an interview with Joe Rogan. And
You know what? That's where I first got it. I think I watched the Joe Rogan Experience myself and saw Abby Martin on there and ended up following her somehow because she's smoking hot.
Yeah, I'm head over heels for that broad, for sure.
Yeah, she's got a look, that's for sure. And she's smart, too, and subversive. So she probably
that
won't
is a problem, though. I want to go with hot, but not smart or subversive.
Yeah.
Articulate, okay, but don't be smart.
Articulate, but not smart. So she could say something super nicely, but she would have nothing to say ever.
That's right.
So she would have a deep vocabulary.
Yeah. She'd be great in marketing. She'd be a great, like, advertising agent. But
she
could say nothing but just make it sound really fucking good.
Or just show your tits, for Christ's sake. And really sell make some awesome happen.
I'll take that. I'll buy whatever Abby Martin's selling.
You're probably pretty excited for this Star Wars movie, being the Star Warsophile that you are.
I'm pretty stoked. Yeah, I've been following it since they announced it. You know, they're not releasing much, but I think it's cool because these days a movie trailer comes out and they show so much shit, you're like, well, I've pretty much seen the movie. But they've been really tight-lipped about it, and all the trailers don't really tell you what the fucking story is. And it premiered, the Hollywood premiere was Monday for the elite, not for people like me. And
the unelite.
Right. So there's an embargo on reviews. They don't want it to be reviewed that early. But a lot of people who were there to see it tweeted on Twitter or whatever. And apparently it's not only... Right. Well, it's marketing, but...
It is.
Apparently not only is it really good, a really good Star Wars film, it's like it's a really good film in general. So, yeah, I'm stoked. I get tickets for Saturday.
Your excitement inspired me to buy some Disney 120 calls that expire in January, so I'm hoping for a big opening here, Rufus. If we don't have a big opening, I could lose about $700 or $800 and me and you are going to have some troubles then, because you kind of got me all amped up to believe in this.
Wait. Sorry, you crapped out a little bit on the connection there. What did you say? What did I make you? Did you invest a lot of money in Disney stock or something?
I did. I invested some money. I wouldn't say a lot of money, but I did invest in some January 120 calls. No, February 120 calls for in Disney. So let's hope that we need Disney to get up around 120 for me to make some money. So keep your fingers crossed.
Box office records ever, even after the shitty fucking movie. It made like.
See, what sucks though is that it could be all this fucking hype, and maybe it meets every fucking number that people are projecting. Somehow, it's always still not enough for the street. You know what I mean?
Oh, is that right? I don't know anything about Wall Street. So it could just be awesome, but somehow it doesn't trickle down.
Right. Somehow it's like, yeah, guys like me who invest and don't have an inside track lose out while government shills make a ton of fucking money because they know everything beforehand.
It's like maybe the defense contractors are also making the special effects sets and props.
You know, they probably are. They're probably there's some kind of machine they've created that can do it all. We just can't afford it.
Every time a gun jams on the battlefield, they just send it to Hollywood for a prop and charge them $1,600.
Well, the good news is Raytheon also has the Raytheon Casket Company, which comes in quite handy during wars, too. The casket division can be quite lucrative.
The casket division? Is that what you said?
Yes. You're not familiar with Raytheon caskets?
Wow. God damn, it's breaking up so much now. Fuck.
Folks, you know what, Rufus? Why don't we spin a tune while you adjust your phone real quick? Because, you know what? You came on that show the other night. It inspired me to make this a better show. You did an excellent job on that show the other night. What was that, Outer Space? Or what was it, the UFO show?
It was Space Out Radio. But since it was at fucking midnight, I get really good reception, like, in our living room, but as soon as I get into the hallway, and especially my office, it's fucking shit. But I can't obviously do this show in my living room.
You know what? I'm not feeling like the connection is that bad, to be honest with you.
Well, that's good. If you can hear me, that's
great.
Call
and let us know what you think about this connection. 646-478-0616. We're looking forward to hearing from ye.
The problem for me is that you're breaking out on my end.
Well, that's not good.
But I know it's my connection. I can see all the bars on my phone. Dude, I'm like holding this shit over my head the whole time we're doing this show.
Your arm's probably going to fall asleep.
I'm not going to do that. Well done.
Good stuff.
Well done.
Hey, why don't we get a tune real quick? Yes?
Sounds good to me.
Or we can keep talking. Let's just keep talking. What do you got for me, Rufus? Lay it on me. Did you get your Christmas shopping done or your Xmas shopping?
It's all pretty much it's done for, like, me and the kid and the wife. There's a couple of other people we got to get some bullshit for, but we can pick that up at any 7-Eleven. So, for the most part, yeah, it's done.
All right. Feeling good about that. You're ahead of the curve. I mean, like I said, I'm waiting until probably the last day. Then I'll probably start thinking about some ideas. What's the weather like there in Arkansas?
The what?
The weather. What's it, like 70 degrees and balmy there?
Dude, last year, as soon as November started, it was freezing and snow all over the fucking place. And this year, it's been like the highs in the 50s, lows in the 30s, no precipitation except for shit ton of fucking rain for a couple of days. So it's been mild, really. Kind of disappointing. We haven't even had to fire up the pellet stove.
How can they say there's no global warming? I mean, honestly. How do they say that with a straight face? The Koch brothers just basically tell the shill politicians to say that?
I don't know. I was talking to our handyman, our go-to handyman today, and he's like in his 60s. Brother David, you're familiar with him.
David
and
Lee?
And we were talking to David Lee. That's right.
All right.
And we were talking to him about the winter, and we're like, man, you know, it was really cold last November, and nothing's really going on this time of year. And he said that 15 years ago, everything changed. He said it used to be that winter, when November hit, it was a huge fucking change, and the nights were in the teens, the days were in the 30s, and there was snow and shit all over the place. And he said, 15 years ago, now winter doesn't really start till January. He said, last year when we moved here, was like it used to be. Right. He said, that's an accepted rule. He said, it won't really hit till January. But, it, you know, I did find it interesting that the whole global warming thing did pop up in my head whenever he said that it changed 15 years ago.
Well, I mean, how can there not be global warming? I mean, think about it. We, like, let off all these gases and shit and kind of rape the earth of whatever we want without putting anything back. I mean, we can do nothing to, like, repair the earth. You know what I mean? I don't care what, how, you know, every little help counts or whatever. No, because you can't, like, take the shit out of the fucking air, ever. You know what I mean? It's just kind of there.
No.
If it gets in the water, then it's there. I mean,
right.
We don't.
I mean,
there's
all
no way
you can
they
do
can
stop.
Say that we're not wrecking the earth.
All you can do is stop putting it there. I mean, once it's there, it's there. You just got to stop putting it there, you know?
Right. How do you stop putting it there? You know what? Everyone else except for me and you should go without. I think that's probably the only fair way to do it. I want people to go without. I just don't want it to be me.
You know what's sad is I think that's the mentality of a lot of people, even good-meaning people, people on the right side of things are like, we need to cut down the carbon emissions, but I've really got to get to this fucking debate about carbon emissions, so I'm going to take a private jet there.
Yeah, I mean, really, if it's not for me taking care of carbon emissions, no one even care about it.
I mean, it is funny whenever you read, they do run stories sometimes about, like, these big global warming conditions where they're trying to figure this shit out, and they break it down to, like, okay, this guy took a private jet and burned 300,000 fucking and fucked everything up for 15 years, you know, for his carbon footprint, and how they're all just like, they can't just get on a train and go or get an electric car. They have a whole posse of semis and train and jets and shit. And I'm like, come on, if you're serious about it.
Yeah, but that's like the typical American way. Let's nitpick it until nothing absolutely can ever fucking get done. Because we can't even meet to talk about it, because every time we do, people are talking about how we use an airplane to fucking get here to talk about it.
Well, I'm sorry, but if I'm a politician and I really want to do something about it, I'm going to ride fucking coach with 300 other people. I'm not going to hire a private jet to burn a whole bunch of bullshit just for me.
Not me, dude. I'm taking a fucking horse and buggy. I'm doing a wagon train with my posse across the fucking country.
Exactly.
But seeing nothing but Best Westerns.
Our boy Bernie Sanders, I saw a photograph of him the other day. He was going to a debate. Guess where he was? In
flying coach.
On a fucking flying coach.
Damn right he was.
Shit,
you know what?
If you,
hey, man,
fly coach. If you really give a shit, if you're honest about it, fly fucking coach.
This country, and a lot of people don't want to believe this, was founded kind of on socialism. Whether we want to believe it or not, if you read the Constitution, it's all men are created equal. It's kind of the basis for communism or socialism. I'm sorry, not communism, socialism. So when people get all freaked out, you know, up until the witch hunts or like the red hunt of like the early 1920s or late teens, 6% of this country or more was socialist, right? And things were pretty good for people, and a lot of good stuff was happening for people. But then the problem was that Hollywood didn't like it. You know what I mean? And McCarthy didn't like it. McCarthy came in and he started the red hunt and turned the fucking country upside down to where it is now, to where big corporations, it's a, what do they call it now? A plutarchy? What is it when it gets to be like 10 people that control everything?
I don't know what the archy word is. I hear plutarchy. I don't know what that means. I hear oligarchy. I'm not sure what that means. Honestly.
Plutarchy, that's that dog in Walt Disney. That's Plutarchy.
Yeah.
And I think
right.
Oligarchy
is brother.
A place you can get a good Italian meal for a reasonable price. That's oligarchy.
They have endless breadsticks.
Right.
But not, for the poor.
If you're ever pulling up a highway to check into a Best Western, make sure there's an oligarchy nearby.
Jesus Christ. That's so funny. An oligarchy, so you walk in, everybody puts their money in a dish, and they spread it evenly and then distribute breadsticks accordingly to everybody.
No. That's a social garchy. An oligarchy is where you go in and you put your money in the dish for the breadsticks and one fucking big fat guy eats them all and takes your money.
That's right. The franchise owner. He's like, thanks for the breadstick, guys.
Right.
Awesome. Man.
Hey, dude, what you say?
We should be going
to
summits. That's fantastic.
So, yeah, once again, here on the Hypersloth Happy Hour, or what I'm calling it now, I'm calling it the HSH squared. How do you like that? The Hypersloth Happy Hour squared. That's my new way of saying the Hypersloth Happy Hour. That's
for the 2016 season. We are the HSH squared.
Man,
we're kind
that sounds legit. That sounds smart, like on top of things. I like it.
I'm dialing it
HSH
in. I'm talking to Lemon Haze. It's helping me get it all dialed in tonight.
Lemon Haze. Nice.
So, you know, I was thinking, I mean, was Jesus kind of the first hipster? Or not? I mean, he had a beard, right?
Well, yeah. Because they didn't have anything to shave with back then.
Well, but there's that story. Didn't he turn some water into some craft beer? I mean, I thought, wasn't that Jesus' story?
He turned water into wine, and then he turned the wine into craft beer. He turned the wine into a keg of Ziegenbach, basically.
So, now, if I recall correctly, Ziegenbach was, like, the cheaper version of Shinerbach made by, like, Milwaukee's Best or something. Am I correct in my assumption there?
Oh, man, I don't know the provenance of the pedigree. I just know it.
Oh, really? How dare you?
Yes.
How dare you with your giant words like Ziegenbach not know the pedigree of such a noble brand?
Hey, I watch PBS sometimes.
You were living large in the early 90s with Ziegenbach. Did you get it just because you were taking German? Were you at a German party?
No, I didn't get it. It was in a keg, which is a waste of a keg to put Ziegenbach in it.
You know what? You know what a real good one is, though, honestly? If I'm getting a beer like that, I like Hitler Bock. Because Hitler Bock is that's good stuff.
Oh, is that right? They call it the fourth Bock?
Yeah, it is. It's right. Heil Hitler Bock. Good stuff, dude. I mean, you just...
Auschwitz
it's
light.
Got a nice smoky flavor.
I bet it does. Well, nice ashy flavor. Tastes like leather shoes and gold teeth.
Oh, my. Really? You had to bring gold teeth into it? Haven't we suffered enough?
Oh, my God. Is each can tattooed with a number?
You know what? Speaking of Hitler Bock, dude, somehow I stumbled across some porn the other day. And I was thinking to myself, really, there's only like five facial porn shots that people do. I mean, you got like the Hitler, then you've got what I would say is the field goal, right, which is kind of between the eyes. Would you agree with that?
You're talking about like the money shot, right?
Yes. I mean,
okay,
the nose rocket is a classic.
I like the one. I like the one with the girl acts surprised, as if she's not earning a paycheck. Like, oh, I didn't know you were going to do that.
I call the surprise party. It's where a guy's fucking yanking a putt in your face for 5 minutes, and then when he sprays on you, you act like you didn't expect it. You don't even do it the whole time.
What is this? Oh, my goodness.
Surprise party.
This is a job interview.
Right, exactly. Or, you know what, you're just, she's cranking it right in front of her face, and she knows she can blow. In a second, when he finally does, she's like, fucking pissed off or like surprised that it even happened.
Like, the ones where they're pissed off pisses me off.
When a guy is his cock 2 inches from your upper lip, you're probably going to get sprayed with something.
Yeah, and whenever he's holding your hair in a fist on the back of your head.
Right.
Then,
when
you
his
should know
what's up. So close to your face, and he's yanking it, punching you in the nose at the same time, you're getting something on you.
That's right. Things aren't going to go your way, but pretend to like it.
But don't. I love
That's
it when they're like, my hair. Like, fucking lady, you look like you haven't worn your hair in 6 weeks. I mean, are you joking with that?
It's like a protein shampoo.
I saw this thing the other day, you know, they've got this Wynn hair care product or whatever. It's like an infomercial for some super expensive. It's not actually a shampoo. It's supposedly like a conditioner you put in your hair. You know, it's super fancy.
Uh-huh.
It's like some famous guy, and it's causing people's hair to fall out. Like literally 200 people have started a class action lawsuit because their hair
no
is falling
shit.
Out.
Wow, that is insane.
Because it's not shampoo. It just, like, fills up your scalp with conditioner and causes, like, your hair to fall out because your scalp can't move.
That's insane. You know what's crazy is I haven't used, I guarantee you, for real, I have not used shampoo or conditioner in maybe a year. I wash my hair only in hot water.
Without a bar of soap?
Thank you.
And your scalp never itches?
Nope, never.
I bet it smells great.
It smells fucking fantastic. I tell you what, I was shaving my head for 20 years, and I was like, I want to go in the opposite direction just for a change. So
right?
I used to have frizzy hair. That's why I shaved it.
Right?
It was like real frizzy, like Cosmo Kramer. So I started researching.
I'm
and I was
that.
Like, I'm not going to grow it out if it's going to be that way. So I started researching, and everything I started reading was, shampooing your hair and conditioning it, unless you've been working in a fucking coal mine, is nothing but marketing. You shouldn't fucking do it unless you're really fucking filthy. And I was like, okay, I'll give it a shot. Holy fuck, dude. I got gorgeous flowing locks. It's because of the oil.
Let me warn you. Let me warn you, Rufus. Remember when I had gorgeous flowing locks and now I have a lock thereof? It's because...
Mm-hmm.
I, as well, only washed my hair with soap once a week. And now, look what's left.
Oh, that's genetics. I don't even do soap. No, I'm serious. I wash my hair with hot water, and that's it. I haven't washed my hair in a year with soap. There's no
point.
You should
make a nice tea. You should make a nice tea out of it.
I guess. It would taste like my hair.
Well, I'm just saying, it's just hot water and a nice hair follicle bath.
Your hair
produces
natural oils.
The moral of that story is do not use Wynn hair products, though, because your hair will fall out. Then you'll be bummed out, like me.
Oh, wait, you cut out. Don't use what hair products? The ones that people are suing for?
Yes, yes. Rightfully so, I would say, because a woman's whole worth is wrapped up in her hair, no doubt.
Well, it depends where the hair is.
Would have you believe. Unless it's her pubic hair. I'm tired of no pubic hair. Can someone please tell amateur porn people to start growing their pubic hair back, please?
Now, do you want the big full-on... The big full-on, like, bush, or just something that kind of...
No. I just need a nice landing strip. I'd like James Bond. I like my pubic hair. Let's see. How would I say it? I would say slightly shaven, but not deferred.
Very well put. And I agree, by the way.
Thank you. I do agree.
I don't even know why I agree. But I do. I mean, every time I see that or just totally bald, I prefer the other. I don't know. I think,
you know why?
It's easy to get rid of all of it, but if you're taking the time to do something with it, you're marriage material.
You know, how about someone tells the people in porn to stop spitting on stuff? You know what I mean? Nothing is grosser than watching a chick, like, spitting on some guy's fucking dick or some dude spitting on some chick's pussy. Why are people doing that? I have a problem with them. I'm like, don't do that. You can be like the hottest chick in the world, and when you go spitting on some guy's fucking dick, like a loogie, I'm just like, what the fuck are you doing? Please don't spit on my dick.
A loogie.
Well, I mean, they're like, nice one. I'm sorry, I didn't hear you, Rufus.
You're breaking. Look, I'm literally holding my. I'm going to be sore tomorrow. My muscles.
I'm impressed. You're kind of remind me of Ali, the way that you're going the distance with this thing, man. You are floating like a butterfly, no doubt.
But hey, it's important, man. It's the Hypersoft Happy Hour. It's HSH squared.
So can we be on the same page about people spitting on dicks as well? That is not a good thing. that is a turn off.
I tell you what, the time you take a spit on a dick is the time you could have used sucking it.
Right, exactly. Thank you very much. It kind of defeats the purpose, right?
It does. Absolutely.
I don't know who invented that, but they must have been high on some serious crank or something for that thing. What do you think about Charlie Sheen having AIDS? I mean, is anybody surprised about that?
I'm not surprised at all, dude. As soon as that the teaser headline came out, mystery celebrity, I was like, oh, Charlie Sheen. Okay.
Oh, my God. They said they actually tried to tease it like that? I missed that.
Yeah, they did a few days in advance. I mean, various publications like, mystery celebrity has HIV, has infected so many people. And I was like, yeah, that's pretty much Charlie Sheen. It's got to be.
Well, I mean, apparently, I guess tiger blood is not good for you, because wasn't that what he was saying he had running through his veins with tiger blood?
That's what he said, tiger blood. Well, that tiger blood's tainted now.
He got AIDS from some kind of tiger blood infusion that he had at some point?
Those red blood cells, those red tiger blood cells are compromised.
Poor Charlie. I mean, but you know what? He's like, now you don't die from HIV, do you? I mean, if you got enough money, you're like perfectly healthy with HIV, right?
Yeah, I think they got treatments and pills and stuff, but apparently he paid out like $50 million to keep people's mouths shut until it came out, so.
It is kind of bullshit that he had sex with women without telling them. That's pretty fucked up. That is very fucked up.
It is fucked up, but you know what? His doctor told him, he's like, yeah, that's totally fine. Because apparently, this is probably, I would say don't do this if you have HIV, but like unless you're like ripping and tearing blood veins open, like anal sex, then it's not going to be they're not going to get it. And so that's why he was just like, kaboom, I'm going all out. But
you're
that's surprising, man. I read that.
Having anal sex. I mean, he didn't. I mean, the rumor is that he got it from a transsexual prostitute, right?
To both worlds.
Well, that's true. Hey, you know what? We had this conversation last week that if I'm going to watch porn, I don't see why I wouldn't watch a hot dude with tits or a hot chick with tits and a dick have sex with another chick. I mean, you're like, that's like one and a half. Chick. I mean, you don't have to settle for a dude and a chick.
You know what? I thought about that. I really did, because I listened to that show on my jog, and that came up, and I totally agree. I'm not going to backpedal. The problem with that premise is that usually when a chick with BP is in a porno scene, it's with a dude. If you and I, if Harper South was directing the trans porno scene, it would be a chick with a dick with a chick. But usually it's a dude, and the tranny's like plowing him in the butt, and he's sucking a shitty penis.
Sounds like you did.
I think it's not used wisely. It's not.
Well, you know what, though? I just want to go on record and say that it is out there, because since that show, I have done some research as well, and there is definitely chicks with dicks with chicks out there, and it's worth watching, let me tell you. And the Asian ones are the best.
Send me some links, man. I gotta see it for myself.
All right, I will see that.
I mean, that's like having your cake and eating it, too.
Literally. And with a sausage thrown in.
it's like having your cream pie and eating it, too.
Yeah, which is another thing. I put that up there with spitting on dicks. That's something that does not ever need to be seen or done. Please don't do that.
This is true.
Dude, eating
anything.
A cream pie is probably the most disgusting thing in the fucking world, if you ask me.
You know, I hate to say it, but any like super close up on anything, I'm out. You know,
right.
I just don't zoom in.
Yeah, high definition has definitely brought some things to my attention that I prefer to have not seen.
That's right. I might be asexual now. I have nothing to do with sex.
I do the not
HD
need
porn.
You ingrown whitehead. You know, next to your mustache tattoo.
No.
I actually saw a chick that had a mustache tattoo.
You zoomed in on
a dude. Why would anybody do that?
Some chick in the butt. It has a blackhead on it.
Nothing like a hot chick with hemorrhoids to really get your motor running.
Focus on the blackhead on the...
Oh, I've seen lots of porns with blackheads in them. See what I did there? There's a whole genre.
Yeah, I see what you did. I do.
Thank you. Thank you very
Clever.
Much. That's all I can say. Shocker, I know. I'm going low. I'm going low for the comedy tonight, folks. No, watch out. How low can we go? Let's see. We're going to find out.
We can go low. Pretty low.
We can go very low. Very, very low. Indeed.
What you drinking, LaCroix?
I am drinking an iced LaCroix, Rufus. Hear that?
I do hear that.
I told you I bought 40 cases, did I not?
And your method is you freeze a LaCroix, and then you put it in the fridge so that half of it thaw, and then you drink it?
Yes.
Is that it?
Or I do not let it freeze all the way. Because tonight... not let it freeze all the way, and then I have to kind of crunch it up. But, yeah, tonight
is
brought to you by LaCroix and Lemon Haze.
That sounds like a really good combination, even though I've never had Lemon Haze. So is LaCroix just like drinking water, or is it like Perrier? It's like got the fizzies in it.
It does have fizzies in it. It's got a slight lime flavor, too, which probably is why it goes so deliciously with the Lemon Haze. But
dude,
people hate it, dude, and that's why I drink it. I can't even tell you how many times I had people be like, hey, let me try that. And I, like, give them a bottle or whatever, and they take one drink. I'm like, oh, my God, that's fucking awful. And I'm like,
they're
idiots. Expect it to taste like pop. It does not taste like pop. It tastes like water. But you know what I was thinking? It's basically the only thing I drink. So if they find out that this shit gives you cancer, I'm pretty fucked, actually.
If it's mostly water, you're probably ahead of the game, man. I mean, that's got to be good for you.
It is 100% water, except for a small little natural lime flavor. But I'm talking about, you know what? It's in a plastic bottle, dude, so how good for it you can it really be?
Well, it's better than drinking a Coke in a plastic bottle.
This
I think
is true.
It's probably pretty good for you overall.
Hey, during your outer space show, were you drinking beer during the show?
Yeah.
Well, I mean, I kind of figured that you were, because I did hear you, like, try to make some clever remarks during the show, and it kind of left him dumbfounded, I think.
I was so goddamn, I was tired that day to begin with, and I was like, oh my God. So I started drinking, I put it off. Normally I started drinking at 5.
I knew
I had to do the show at 12, at midnight. So I didn't start drinking until like 7, but I was so fatigued after like 6 beers, I was like, I'm going to bed. So I went to bed for a couple of hours. I knew he was going to call me at 10 to the show, like the heads-up call. I set my alarm, laid down in bed, couldn't go to sleep. So I got up. He called me. He gave me the heads-up. I was like, cool. I went back to bed for a little bit, got up at midnight, and fucking A, guys, I sat on the living room couch, and I brought 10 beers with me, and I probably drank them all. And I was so out of my, dude, I was really fucking sleepy, tired, honestly. The beer didn't kind of keep me level, but I had to have it just to stay engaged. And I was so fucking tired between 12 and 2 in the morning.
You did an excellent job on that show, dude. I listened to the whole show, and you did a good job. And at one point, he was talking about the breath on – he was sold on some kind of film because they went to all the trouble to give, like, the fake Bigfoot breasts or whatever. And you're like, yes, anything with breasts keeps me engaged or whatever. And he was just like – it floored him, I think. I think he was dumbfounded by that.
I think I probably at that point I vaguely remember that. I still haven't listened to the show. I just don't want to. But
you
at that
should,
point,
dude. You
I think.
You did a perfectly great job.
Well, thank you. But at that point, when he mentioned breasts, when he mentioned a Bigfoot having breasts, I kind of went into hyper-sloth mode. I was like, man, that's just hilarious.
You did, and it fucking caught him off guard for sure. You know,
yeah.
The one thing that I can tell about the show is, like, you were trying to have fun with this, and this guy is trying to pin you down as, like, fucking some crazy conspiracy nut job, which is kind of unfortunate, you know what I mean? Because you have more of, like, an open mind about the whole thing, and he just kind of is more of a hardliner, I think, on what he believes in or wants to believe in, maybe even though it hasn't been proven. Or anything.
No, I think you're right. I think you're absolutely right. And I think the call that I had with him after that kind of proves that. Because he called me after the show, which he said he would do just to make sure it went well and if I was happy with it. He says he does this with all of his guests. No big deal. It takes 2 minutes. We were on the phone for another hour. And I think he was taken aback by the fact that I wasn't just being some weird conspiracy fucking nut or just kind of being a real guy and kind of batting the ball around. I think he called him off guard, but he liked it.
Hold that thought, because I want to hear about what he told you after the show in the private phone call after we take it into the VIP. I'm just going to hit the VIP music now and invite the listeners into the VIP to check out what happened after Rufus was on the Outer Space show.
It was cool. It was cool. I'm going to say it's weird, but cool. So, yeah, stick around, folks. For sure.
Stick around. You're going to hear this. VIP folks, we're back. Rufus was just going to fill us in on what happened after the show, after he was interviewed for his website or our sister website, UFOMG.com, on the Outer Space show.
Right. And
also on Blog Talk.
This is true, and it's funny. Whenever I called him 10 minutes early, he said, "Call me 10 minutes early." Or called the guest number 10 minutes early. And he didn't know that I'm familiar with Blog Talk Radio. It was funny listening to him. He's like, all right, this British bitch is going to count us down. Her voice is fucking might kick us off, whatever. We'll get back on it. No big deal. He was like, oh. And so we we were talking, kind of going over the shit we're going to say, and then, you know, the Blog Talk Radio lady would come on and be like, ah, here she is, Jesus Christ. Yeah, she's going to count us down. That's an annoying, fake, fucking British accent. Anyway, so that was funny.
You think that's a fake accent? Because I think that's a real accent. I don't think anybody would waste their time doing a fake British accent like that for that thing.
Well,
do you?
I think he was kidding. I mean, he's a radio DJ guy, so
he's
been joking around. And he was, I mean, really conversationally, the guy was, it would be cool to have him on this show, honestly. He seems like a really cool guy. But, yeah, so we called him back after the show, and like you said, he would, just to see if I thought it went well or if I'd like to do it again or whatever. But he said that he was really intrigued with kind of how I perform, so to speak, and my points of view. And he even said that, you know, maybe you could be on the show more. And I was like, oh, yeah, okay, I don't really have time. But then he went into his own contact experiences.
Right.
And, man, they're pretty fucking heavy. And he doesn't sound like a lunatic at all.
Can you elaborate? I mean, you feel comfortable elaborating on his contact experiences at all?
Yeah.
Because I'm going to
have to
insist that you do.
No, that's fine. That's fine. I mean, look, if you accept that UFOs are extraterrestrials, which I'm not sure they are, there could be other explanations. They're unidentified, right? But
right.
If you accept that they're ETs, then you have to assume that whatever's in those are landing here and interacting with people in various ways.
Right.
So I don't discount what somebody says, but at the same time, those waters are pretty fucking murky because you can make up anything. Oh, yeah, a fucking gray alien came down and spit in my pee-pee
right.
And then sucked it and licked my tank that had a blackhead on.
It was awful.
Believe me.
Then we got married.
Right.
Then I found out I had tiger blood AIDS.
But he was telling me about how, like, 10 years ago, he decided to pursue this because it had always been, like, an interest, you know. And with his radio connections and journalism background, he got into contact with, like, the legitimate people involved. We'll use the word legitimate loosely because it's such a weird contact.
Underground type thing.
Right. And so he tells me about meeting things, you know, beings,
uh-huh.
And being abducted and waking up on cold iron metallic slabs surrounded by odd-looking beings and stuff.
Yeah. So the stories always have to go that way, can't they? Be like, fucking, I was abducted and we fucking played some kind of card game. Or we watched some old episodes of Seinfeld. I mean, do they always have to put you on there? I mean, how many humans do the UFO people need to fucking, like, probe anally before they get the gist of what's going on inside
of our
body?
It's interesting that you say that because he had something to say about that, too. And he said, look, for me, it's always been positive. Even whenever I just kind of wake up and I'm there, they're all totally cool. You know, nothing's painful, nothing strange has happened. You know, it's no big deal. I've never had a bad experience.
The premise being that he didn't start having these experiences until he got into trying to report on UFO stuff and made contacts with these underground people that he knows they like have hooked him up with these aliens, or the aliens are like, hey, dude, we heard you on Blog Talk Radio. We thought we would just come down and pay you a visit and put you on our table.
Oh, no, the show, the Blog Talk Radio show is only like a year old. But he's been, you know, having these experiences or whatever for like 10 years. And it's interesting that, it's pretty crazy. So the deal is, and I've heard this before, that Eisenhower, so back in the 40s or whatever, whenever all of the flying saucers and shit were happening, there was one alien race that said, look, we'll give you a shit ton of fucking technology if you just stop making nuclear weapons because you're going to fuck a whole bunch of shit up. You're going to destroy your planet
right.
And all the people. We've seen this before. we're just trying to help you out. We will give you a head start in technology if you just stop building nuclear weapons and pursuing that path. And Eisenhower's like, yeah, fucking A. Okay, let's do it. But then another race of aliens came in and said, look, we just need your fucking human DNA. We need to take some people and do some shit with them. We'll give you all the technology. We don't give the fuck what you do to your own planet. And Eisenhower, pressured by the industrial military complex we've discussed, was kind of, his hand was forced, and he said, okay. And so then we're still pursuing nuclear arms, the whole fucking Hiroshima, whatever. All that shit happened. But now, you know, these other aliens are able to just abduct people at whim because that's part of the deal, as opposed to the previous deal offered, not accepted, was we'll give you our technology if you just stop trying to fuck yourselves over. And
right.
So it's so fucking weird, man. I don't know, dude. It's just so crazy. It's crazy,
now,
but at the same time, it's just, I don't know.
I guess that when he was talking about those three dudes showing up at that seminar or whatever, I looked to myself, I'm like, why wouldn't the aliens then just reveal themselves, period? You know what I mean? Why not just make themselves known? I mean, chances are we probably can't do anything to them. You know what I mean?
I don't know. I thought about that, too. You know, I'm into it. I gotta fucking think about that. The only thing I can think of that makes sense is, like, what would we do? Right? Unfortunately, we'd probably do the wrong thing. If we interact with some tribe that's never been discovered, we'd probably try to sell them cell phones. But I would like to think that if we were smarter, we'd be like, let's observe them but leave them alone, because they've been that way for thousands of fucking years. Why fucking intercede? So, I don't know. I compare it all to, and Neil deGrasse Tyson, the physicist, has used this as a way to debunk the whole thing. Like, if there's a race of alien beings out there so far advanced from us, why would they even bother with us? And my argument against that is always like, well, we do that all the fucking time. I mean, there's ants that we have entire fields of study dedicated to. Right. So why wouldn't an alien civilization, compelled by curiosity and fueled by amazing technology, just want to see what's going on?
I'm going to play the Neil deGrasse Tyson devil's advocate there and say, because we know how that works, because our culture is a billion years older and more advanced than your culture, that we don't, that's like dust to us.
Right. I guess. I'm not sure what you mean.
Well, I'm just saying that you know what, if, say, okay, the human race is a billion years more advanced than we are right now. That means all the technology and everything else has been a billion times more advanced than something. So, I mean, you think a billion years from now, they'll have figured they know everything there is to know about ant colonies, so why waste your time trying to figure out, you know, what more an ant colony has to offer at some point?
Well, I don't know. I mean, why do we bother with ant colonies?
Because
there's
we're
no
not a billion years more advanced.
Compared to an ant, we are. So what's the value? What do we learn from an ant?
Well, really,
nothing.
If you think about it, an ant is probably about 3 million years more advanced than the human race.
That seems an odd thing to say, but...
Well, I mean, think about it. They've been around longer. They've survived things that we probably would never survive that have happened on this earth. Does that make them more advanced?
Well, I think it makes them tiny so that they avoid certain disasters. It doesn't necessarily make them more advanced. But the fact that we think we're advanced.
I saw a GIF where these ants built a bridge out of their own bodies to help themselves across a small area. I don't see a lot of American. Well, you know what? We do that, but they already know the people that are going to be at the bottom of the bridge, and they're called
exactly.
Working men.
But an ant isn't going to run a CAD program and forge steel. They're going to sacrifice their own brethren to fucking make a bridge to get across a 2-inch gap between wood. I mean,
actually, all the ants survived. The ants survived. No ant left behind, literally.
Awesome. I guess George Bush was in charge of that program, like No Child Left Behind.
Yes, another successful thing. Oh, you know what? I was watching the show. I don't know if you've ever seen it. It's Morgan Spurlock has a show that's kind of like that Adam Ruins Everything show, but it's called The Inside Man. And
is that where he does just 30 days doing something?
Well, this one he does. Maybe he does do 30 days. I guess I really wasn't paying attention, but he was just asking himself questions, and one of them was like, why is the American school system so screwed up? You know, I mean, we're supposed to be the world's superpower, but as far as test scores go and people that are coming out of schools or whatever, we're 16th in the world. You know, you think, I mean, everybody likes to say that we're probably first, but we're not. And Finland was first, right? And he went over there to see what their school system was all about. And basically, in Finland, the kids go to school at like 9 o'clock in the morning and get off at 1 o'clock in the afternoon, right? They don't get any homework, and between classes they get 15-minute breaks where they just kind of goof around or whatever. And the deal is, kids, because of that structure, kids want to go to school, and when they're at school, they want to learn. But here in America, because the days are so long and all this testing and stuff, kids don't want to go to school, and when they get to school, they kind of mock it all out. You know, they just kind of feel like it's a waste of time. And
I totally agree.
Finland has it all figured out, especially as far as shit goes. I mean, if you have kids, you get $500 a month per kid from the government just to spend on the kids. Right? And, of course, you get your free health care and your free dental. And they showed all these families, dude, and they're all, like, sitting around the house pretty fucking happy because – mom and dad aren't sitting there fucking pissed off about how they're going to pay for Junior's fucking shoes or prom tux or, you know, cable bill or cell phone or whatever.
Right.
It causes a lot of fucking anxiety here in the United States. It made a lot of sense. I suggest watching that program.
No, that makes a hell of a lot of sense.
Life.
I don't like him either, but I think he does a good job sometimes shedding a light on things like that. And Finland also doesn't have big corporations building tanks and guns and bombs for making money.
Exactly. Right.
So they're just focused on their people.
Yeah. Well, I mean, and you know, the deal is when we're spending trillions and trillions of dollars on fucking wars overseas, I think the war in Afghanistan cost, what, $4 trillion now. Right, $118 million a day they spend on that war.
Right.
$118 million a day. And, you know, they break it down, of course, if they brought it back here, what we could be doing with that money and how, like, we wouldn't have to be at war with everyone because we could just make America a nice enough place to where people don't want to be terrorists inside of America and kill other Americans. Just make it a nice place to fucking live.
And it's not just the money, dude, but, like, I mean, the soldiers that go over there and fight, they got the best of intentions. I'm not going to be an anti-soldier guy. But those poor motherfuckers lose their lives over corporate contracts because
they've been injected
with this fucking bullshit propaganda about freedom. Well, you know what? American freedom has nothing to do with Afghanistan. Just get the fuck out of Afghanistan and let's be free in America. And these poor dudes are losing their lives over this shit, but at the same time, they're so spoon-fed it that they're proud of it. Well,
on this Empire Fire show, this one guy, the general was talking about how he was at some kind of thing, and a soldier came up to him, a guy that was in Afghanistan for a couple of duties, and he said to him, you know, I didn't know, you know, what I was going over there for, because I was spoon-fed, you know, they're doing this, they're doing that. And he's like, and then after about 6 months there, I had my aha moment and was like, this is just corporate greed. I'm over here because corporations want to make money. There's no real – these people don't want to fight us. They don't want us here. We don't want to fight them, you know what I mean? But we're being told that we have to because that's just what we do. We're soldiers. We don't ask, and you know, yours is not to ask why, yours is but to do or die. And the guy who actually said that quote, are you familiar with that quote?
I am familiar with it, yeah. But who said it?
Well, I can't remember the guy's name, but he actually was a socialist in the 1940s in America. And he was, you know, it was just after World War II, and he was saying to people, you know, you don't have to do this anymore. We don't have to have a big standing military that's run by the corporate people. And they put him in jail for 20 years just for saying that.
Jeez,
that's all he did. And
right.
What law he broke was, it was the law that was causing under-recruitment. So they kind of charged him with treason for saying
right.
that you don't have to go and fight some more without asking questions. That's all he was saying.
We need a military to defend ourselves. We don't need to be going over someplace. I mean, honestly, look, if somebody attacks us, okay, well, let's just make sure we're not attacked again. We don't need to go over and obliterate a whole fucking country or something just to get revenge on, like, one guy. Because that's
right.
going to make things fucking worse.
They wonder why people hate us. Well, because we killed 500,000 fucking civilians trying to root out
right.
one or two bad guys. You know what I mean? And it's
mm-hmm.
not something that we see on the news here. And I know we're getting political on the show, and this is not a political show. It's a more of a frustration show that something's got to change. You know what I mean? But I know a guy who makes fucking $20,000 a year, maybe less, all right? And he's like a huge fucking Trump. And I'm thinking to myself, you know what, dude, you're barely scraping by, yet you're like quoting a guy that couldn't fucking piss on you if you were on fire. And you know, why are you Republican? Because your mom and dad are Republican? I mean, that's what I'm finding out more and more, that people are so narrow in their thought process. Well, my mom and dad are fucking Republican, so goddammit, I'm Republican
right.
too. You know,
and it's the whole.
Over,
it's the whole.
I gotta think about my daughters and like her kids and stuff now. And the way America is fucking tracking, I guarantee you America won't be around another 150 years like this if it goes on like this now.
No. Well, 150 years, no, it'll be gone. I mean, unless something fucking changes. I mean, it's elections are fucking rigged and phony. They're driven by corporations, just
right.
like. The fucking bullshit wars. We have no say.
I think even
most like Republicans, like average people like you and me Republicans, are fucking tired of the bullshit, but they just don't have another option. I mean, whenever
right.
you're a Republican and all your candidates are fucking insane douchebags, you got to vote for an insane douchebag. You don't have an option. You know?
Well, I mean, you don't. You say that, you know what, a lesser of two evils is still an evil. You know what I mean?
Right. Amen.
So you just have to say to yourself, I can't be part of that. I need to think outside of that. I mean, it's going to take a revolution, dude. It really will take a revolution to bring down America the way it is, because the people that are in power are going to fight the people like us. You don't think if we decided to march on Washington tomorrow, a million fucking people saying we want change, they're not going to break out fucking tear gas and
oh, yeah.
shit like that. I mean, of course, it'd be Tiananmen Square all fucking over, except we would fucking lose.
Yeah. En masse could revolt or protest or whatever and would just get tear gassed, or drones would drop fucking, you know, bolts left and right. It's... I think America will still exist in 150 years, but it'll be totally different. And I think it will look a lot more like America 30 years after the Constitution was signed. It'll be like really beneficial to the people, but yeah, it's going to take a groundswell and a fucking. It's going to be ugly before it's not. I think.
I'm thinking in 150 years, if America's still around, it's going to look more like China.
What's that you broke
just
up?
Overpopulated, bloated, smoking idiots.
I don't know. I mean, we're still in a good place. I mean, like, we can do a podcast and drink beer and stuff, but in the big picture, the more and more that I just kind of look at how we're doing shit, I'm like, oh, my God. God. Makes me want to move out of the country again, honestly.
I told my wife, I'm like, you know what? Why don't we just move to fucking Canada? I was going to see how hard it is to move to fucking Canada. Sell Bud Buddies in Canada. I mean, pot's going to be legal in Canada within the fucking next 6 months. Totally legal. I mean, tell me that's not opening up a big fucking opportunity for selling Bud Buddies. I mean, I think that 420 Products USA and Rufus and Zigzag need to fucking just go to Canada and say, fuck all this bullshit. Eh?
But it can't be that hard moving to Canada. You just go up there and, I guess, get a residency with them done.
Well, I mean, it is hard because they've got all, like, the free health care and free shit like that. I know a guy that did move there, and the only reason he could is because he had a job waiting for him, and his wife had to be there for 2 years before she could get anything as far as health care and any of that stuff in Canada. Because
really?
They want to make sure you're in it for the long haul. It's not like America where you just fucking sign a visa or a piece of paper and say, welcome. You know what I mean? They want people to be legit.
And that makes sense. That makes total sense. Don't just let a bunch of people flood in and give them everything. You know, make sure, vet them. Make sure they're going to be an asset to your fucking community and your society. Absolutely.
Have you ever seen that show 90 Day Fiancé?
90 Day Beyonce.
90 Day Fiancé. Have you seen it?
I've seen it in passing like one or two times. I don't know. I'm not an expert on it, but I think I know the concept. And every episode I've seen, I've been really uncomfortable watching it.
It's an uncomfortable show, no doubt. I mean, to say the least. But there's enough fucking fat, ugly women in America that if there was a dating website for terrorists just to come over here and make it look like some fat, ugly woman had a boyfriend, she'd put him on one of these fucking visas in a second. No doubt.
No kidding.
Well, I mean, I'm being dead serious because, like, some of it's different. I mean, a lot of times it's like the dudes that hook up with chicks are like lonely dudes. I mean, just think about who meets people online generally, you know, or on vacation. Say you're on vacation in the Bahamas and you meet some chick and she's like, yes, I want to get married to you and move to America. I mean, you have to know that she's not legit, really.
Oh, yeah. There's an ulterior motive.
In seeing the whole show, I'd love if they do a follow-up show, and I'm sure they probably do, but I haven't seen it. There's probably one chick that I would say was legitimately here because she liked a dude, and I would say there is no dudes that are here because they legitimately like some chick. None.
Oh, no. Oh, no. They're losers that want to get laid.
And want to fucking move to America. I mean, Christ, a couple of them on the show would, like, go, they meet the chick, they get to America, they got 90 days to, like, get married or whatever, they got to ship them out. And after, like, 2 weeks, these guys are down at the fucking bar hitting on other chicks while the big, fat, stupid bitch sits at home. You know what I mean? Going, well, I just don't understand. And, you know, and they still marry the fucking guy and shit. It's pathetic.
Okay. Well, I like those guys then. I hate to say it. I feel bad. Opportunists. I like opportunists.
I mean, and they are. And you know what? It's these, I don't know, they're just playing up on a woman's thing. It's sad, yes. So you just, like, have to shake the people that are getting duped and be like, there's a whole TV show and you're on it about how fucking stupid you are. Can't you just sit back and watch it and not, you know,
no.
And get an idea? No, they can't.
Well,
it's amazing.
It's because that shit's not live, right? I mean, they probably record it for real, but it doesn't come out until, like, 2 years later.
Right.
So they don't get to see it.
But I did see a follow-up. They were actually on Dr. Phil. Right? And the chick was like, yeah, we found out he was cheating on me, blah, 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 this and that, but I'm still giving him a chance. You know, and the guy was actually saying, well, we don't have sex. His religion did not allow him to kiss her at their wedding and all this shit, you know, and
what?
It's not a real relationship, but she won't fucking give up on it, more or less, though, because her friends, she didn't want to hear anybody say, I told you so.
Yeah, that's it. That's it. That's it right there. She doesn't want the I told you so. And you You totally nailed it. And you're right. You can't blame her. I mean, nobody wants "I told you so." I mean, you stick to your guns, no matter how unhappy you are, just does not get "I told you so."
I'm great at giving out "I told you so." I'm not so great at fucking accepting them. That's all I want to say about that.
Honestly, that's the best part about having a wife and a kid, is it's constant "I told you so."
Yeah, it is. You're right.
I mean,
about
as a smart man, as a smart man with a job,
as
"I told
a
you
superior,
so."
As a superior male being.
That's right.
Send your hate mail to Rufus. He was holding up a small sign that said that men are superior.
All right, but I got to go, man.
Know if
my bladder
is with that.
My bladder's so full, it's like spreading my ribs out.
Folks, well, that's it for the Hypersloth Happy Hour. Until next week, when we'll talk about other riveting things that'll probably change your life for the better if you let it in past your cerebral membrane, which is where this stuff gets really crazy. So I'll play us out with a song. I think tonight I'm going to play us out with Internet Love Song, the one that started all. This is, you want to listen to Rufus's pipes here. And Rufus, I would like to say, why don't we work on that song? I want to write the Bernie Sanders jingle. And I want that song that I was singing to you earlier to be part of it. Is that something we could do?
I was going to say, before we signed off, I really want you to, like, send me how to play that riff. Like, I've already forgotten it because I'm, like, half drunk. But do me a video or send me the chords, because I really think the progression is awesome, especially the version that you did with the guitar slap and the break. That really kind of made it for me.
And
you need a bridge. I know. I'll see if I can come up with a bridge. I thought it was gold, man. So, yeah, we'll do a Bernie Sanders thing if you want. Whatever.
Right.
That riff made me want to do something. I mean, honestly.
All right. Well, I did send you a second riff, too, that probably wasn't as good, but I was kind of feeling the itch today.
You don't know that. It might be better from my perspective.
Did you listen to it? Did you listen to the second one?
No, I haven't. I didn't even know you said one until right now.
Yeah. It was underneath the first one.
Oh, shit.
So check it out.
I haven't heard it. Man, it was
like
Christmas.
Yeah, there's another video there. Another video message. That's how we're doing it.
Okay.
21st century style. All right, Rufus, let's give it a howl. Ow, ow, ow! All right, folks, check you Tuesday of next week. Don't forget to tune in for the Hypersloth, or the HSH squared, which means Hypersloth Happy Hour to you newbies. We'll check you next time.
HSH
Rufus
squared.
Party on.
Oh,
and may the force be with you.
May the force be with you.
And also with you. That's what I'm going to start doing when people say that to me. You know how they do it in Catholic Church when they're like, "It beats me with you." I'm going to start saying, "Also with you."
Beautiful.
How awesome will that be?
It'd be awesome.
All right, folks, check out Internet Love Song here in the Hypersloth Happy Hour. Catch you Tuesday.
My keyboard with my custom-made golden spike ears on. I send her a picture of me composed out of commas and semicolons, and she likes what she sees. Of course she does.
Thanks for listening to Hypersloth Happy Hour with Zig Zag and Rufus.